Hello and welcome to episode 52 of Good Copy, Bad Copy. I'm Emily King, Radix's content marketing manager. I'm joined by David McGuire, creative director at Radix Communications.
Greetings and salutations.
And our special guest designer, Xander Grunfeld of Venn.
Good day to you.
Xander's here as we wanted to include a designer's perspective in this episode because we are discussing how designers and copywriters can work together more effectively. Good design and copy are both critical for B2B marketing campaigns, websites, rebranding, you name it. But designers and copywriters aren't always on the same page.
Sometimes literally.
Yep. And it doesn't have to be this way, obviously. And today we're going to try and find out what we can do about it. As ever, if you have any questions or comments about this episode, please feel free to email us via podcast@radix-communications.com or you can try and tweet us at radix.com. Okay, so we've got a lot of bits of like the designing and writing processes and how these sort of collate that we sort of want to talk about today. And I've got a whole load of questions. So my first one is a pretty obvious one. There's a bit of a chicken egg. Which seems to come first once there's a brief? Copy or design? Xander.
Well, obviously the brief is written in words, so you kind of start with words when you're doing anything really. So I think for us, we do really, working in a team is always, words are the sort of basic method of communication. Design is about communication. And actually when you're sort of discussing ideas, you are thinking in words and in copy. And for us in particular, we try and nail down whatever idea we have into something that we can articulate. So maybe we're a bit unusual about that, but maybe my background is someone who has always been terrified of a blank piece of paper, and having something that we can say, right, this is what we're working towards, really works well for us. But having said that, once we've said that initial starting sort of phrase, which gets us going, then all the words are out the picture, and then it goes down to pretty pictures after that. So
whole loads of lorem ipsum.
Yeah, well, we try really hard not to use lorem ipsum, actually. It's very hard not to, because sometimes you're making up things that are worse than lorem ipsum in a way.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, we try and not use it too much, actually.
So what do you put instead? Just kind of placeholder?
The kind of thing we'll say,
it's roughly about this? Or?
Yeah, exactly. Witty title goes in here. Short introduction of maybe only 50 words goes in there. That sort of stuff. To give people an idea of what they're looking at, really, because actually, and I think it's very different with web and print and traditional media, but particularly with web design, looking at a page of images with lorem ipsum under it means nothing. It really does mean nothing at all. So I don't know if you're expecting a more confrontational first answer from me.
No, that sounds good. I mean, I think from my point of view, I like that sense that the idea comes first, whether it's then expressed in copy and in or design. I think for us, it may be because we do a lot of relatively long form stuff, or where the emphasis is on the words. So, you know, whether it's even something that's got quite a lot of design in it, like an ebook or a data sheet. You know, the words are probably carrying more of the weight in something like that, or a blog post or something.
Well, you would think that, wouldn't you?
you know, so I think probably 60, 70, 80% of the time, you know, the brief will come to us. We'll write we'll write something, hand over a Word document, and then a designer will get to work. But I think that there are exceptions to that. You know, I think where it's something that is perhaps more about the design and, you know, and what it looks like, and where the graphics are carrying, you know, more of the weight, something, you know, ad based or a banner or something, or where there's a clear, also where there's a clear template to work to. Yeah. You know, so whether it's an email template or a web wireframe or a magazine format and layout, you know, but it is useful sometimes to have that, you know, 30 characters of witty title.
Yeah.
You know, two sentences of introduction. I think that's useful. I think it does vary. I think we here tend to start with a Word document. I think it's mostly down to the kinds of content that we do.
I mean, I think design is communication, essentially, as I said. And, you know, different types of design are carrying the weight of communication in different ways.
Yeah.
So perhaps very conceptual things or more sort of, you know, top level sort of brand stuff before you get into, you know, nitty gritty of carrying specific points. In that case, the kind of words we're talking about are, you might want to have something sort of maybe a bit abstract, like we're trying to communicate Inception or something like that. Do you know what I mean? And they're the words that just kind of guides to make sure we're all sort of thinking about the same things. But I think as you sort of cascade down from the sort of very top level stuff towards, there gets a point where you just can't do it without having the words to work to. You can't design the final web page or the design or brochure or the design or the final booklet until you actually know what words are going in, because it's just useless to say we've given you 20 lines to fit in what you've got to say without knowing what you've got to say in there first. So it's definitely a compromise. It does work the other way around as well. Sometimes it's before you've even put pen to paper, here's 10,000 words that need to go onto the page sort of make it work. So
is there perhaps a case for heading back to the days of designers and copywriters working together alongside each other in real time?
Old school. Mad men.
Mad men.
Exactly. Mad men. That's the dream, isn't it?
It is the dream. Do you ever find that happens?
Well, I'm probably a bit unusual in that my girlfriend, my other half, is a copywriter. So I'm biased, you know. I get it at home if I don't think about the words from the beginning. But we do it, actually. Mad Men, the whole Mad Men thing was flipped around. I mean, from watching that, the copywriters were the boss and the art and the sort of artists were the lackeys to kind of make their ideas real, I think.
Quite right, too.
I think it's kind of different now. But we do projects where we're working with copywriters right from the start. That might be because of, again, when you're working on ideas-based things, if you can't articulate that idea really very, very clearly, then it's difficult to get a whole team on board. You know, it's particularly when you're pitching things, if you think about it, when you're sort of pitching in design work to a client, often you're not really showing it to them before you're telling them what your idea is going to be, and therefore the words carry all of the weight of evoke an idea of something that they've not seen yet. And that's where Don Draper's kind of bleary-eyed speeches about how he was, whatever he was doing when he was young, sort of take effect. But yeah, we have done some of that. It does work quite well, I think.
it's difficult, I think, a lot of the, you know, to do it except on sort of special occasions, really, isn't it? You know, because it's something where, for a lot of the time, you know, particularly, you know, if you're working with sort of specialists, you know, everything's on the clock and efficiency is really important, getting stuff done for clients, you know, on a budget. But I think, you know, and a lot of the time, you know, and I think it depends on the quality of the writer and depends on the quality of the designer. But a lot of the time, the even things that are quite visual, the designer is so good at interpreting the copy. It's like some of the best stuff and the best designed stuff, you know, that has come out of my writing, you know, slide shares and things that are really, really visual. You know, that it has started just with some suggestions of what to put, you know, some words to put on slides, and it comes up and it ends up having this real kind of graphic narrative that they've put in. It was like, wow, how did they do that? And so sometimes it's hard to make that case for the, you know, the extra time and the extra expense that's involved in kicking that around. But whenever I you know, I've worked alongside a designer in real time, you know, I've loved it. It's great, you know. And I think that something where the visuals, you know, the design and the words have to both pull together in a very clear direction. You know, very strongly. I think that there's still a case for doing that kind of thing. You know, ad work. You know,
yeah.
Ad copy, and you know, an ad design. There has to be a very strong vision that either, you know, if you're not working side by side, either the writer or the designer somebody has to have a really good idea that works both in a words and visuals way. So somebody needs to have both aspects in mind, unless you're working together.
Yeah, and I definitely think copywriting's going through a renaissance from what I've seen in the way in which we work, in that sort of 6 or 7 years ago, perhaps at the very last stage for us, obviously you guys have been around for a while, but for us, copywriters were being brought in at the very last stage to kind of wrangle things into shape. Whereas now we're getting work through copywriters more and more. And you know, I think often clients have sort of their first point of contact. And I think it used to be their branding agency or the design agency, but often now those clients are going to the copywriters first because they understand the communication is important. And then we're getting brought in to sort of support that. So there's definitely, I think, a renaissance in copywriting being right there at the heart of what's happening. But I think you're right. There's got to be a mutual understanding. You know, I don't know, you might have more experience. I don't know whether all designers sort of value words as much as we do. Perhaps I'd like to think they do, but if there's a clash, you know, right, it can be problematic as well. If there's not a mutual understanding right at the beginning that both parts are equally as important and carry the same weight, then it can be, you know, you've got two sets of egos for the client to survive with there.
And I think it does vary, you know, because I think some, because it does have to be, you know, whether you're working directly together or in different offices and sending stuff to each other, it does need to have this element of cooperation and slight back and forth where, you know, yeah, for some designers, it's quite old school, you know, and the words are completely secondary. They're polluting my vision, right? And then for some, they're completely almost too far the other way.
Right.
Like the words are sacrosanct.
Right.
And so, you know, I'm going to spend hours trying to make this work and the design's not really going to work, rather than going back to the copywriter and going, can you make this 5 words shorter? Can you just lose a paragraph here or something? You know, can you rework it a bit? Because I think often we can.
Yeah.
You know, if we know what a designer needs.
Well, then that leads me to ask, well, then what else can sort of like either side do to ensure that there's good lines of communication going on? It's like, how do you keep in touch in a way that everyone, and how do you present these communications so that these sort of decisions or choices can be made?
I mean, I think with any kind of communication is not letting it build up. For me, it's just saying it as soon as you think it. If you kind of build up all of these, you know, we've got this piece of copy, we're going to work with it for a couple of weeks, and we've built up sort of 30 points that we're now going to come back to you with, that's never going to work. It's never going to be received well. So it's much easier now with Slack. Hooray for Slack, which means that you can have immediate feedback. You know, I'm reading through this piece of copy, and as I think it, I can say, how important is this little bit here? Or, so I think that's what, just going back to what you were saying about the copy being sacrosanct, I know from experience that you don't, as a designer, you kind of get the picture that it can be edited, but you don't necessarily know which is the word. It's like, often there's like, that word is the word that is carrying the weight of this whole sentence. And it comes up in another 300 words, which makes it sort of tell a story or really important. So you're a bit scared of doing too much of that sort of stuff. But if you can be really quick about it, you know, do we have to have this sort of cheese metaphor in here? Yeah, that's really important. It comes up again later, sort of thing. So for me, being able to do it instantly and really quickly, which is much easier now than it used to be, is a good way of doing it.
Is it wrong that I'm thinking, you know, what cheese metaphor can I put into the next section?
It's whether or not I actually make it into the client's final.
I've got lots of cheese jokes, but no cheese metaphors. And it's the same thing. And I think that's the thing that I still don't know. I mean, you know, after doing this for 15 years, I still don't know for a designer, what's an easy fix and what's a right pain in the bum, you know, and it's always, you know, and everyone's so keen to be responsive and everyone's, you know, so nice a lot of the time, you know, I'm very conscious that I can go, how hard is it to do this?
And you're picturing them going, yes, and then...
And nobody ever goes, actually, that's really hard and you've ruined everything. You know, they're going, okay, we could do that. You know, and it's always hard to tell, you know, what's a tiny tweak from a big job. And I think it's the same for writers as well. You know, what's an easy job? And that's an easy fix. And that's... that's a big pain.
Perhaps because I've lived with one for 10 years, but I definitely feel for writers more than designers in the sense that everyone thinks they can write.
Yeah.
You know, everyone can write, just not necessarily particularly well. So everyone can read any piece of copy and with their, you know, A-level English or GCSE English think this is how we can improve that. So it's much harder for you guys to justify the defence over a piece of work. Whereas we can say, no, Photoshop doesn't let you do that. And there's nothing that people can say about it.
I can picture the conversation. I can feel your partner's pain through your words. Because it will be that everybody in a conversation where a client goes, actually, I think you'll find you don't need that comma there.
Well, exactly. Or I've just quickly rewritten that. You don't get people saying, I've just quickly reprogrammed the homepage of the website for you with my...
But they probably do go, could you make the logo bigger?
Oh, God. I mean, obviously that happens, but we can...
Can it be in Comic Sans?
No.
Sorry, we don't mention the C word.
So, Sandra, are there some elements of the design process that you wish copywriters understood more when you're sort of working on stuff?
I think it's quite refreshing to hear you saying what you were saying about sending off these slight changes, and definitely the... yeah, we'll have a look at that is the kind of standard response, but I'm not sure. I think it's kind of pretty much like anything. I do think, you know, I'll probably get in trouble now. I do think you do understand brevity and the importance of brevity as copywriters, but I think brevity to you guys is still slightly less brief than what it is to us sometimes. And I do find sometimes the understanding of how much copy on A4 can translate to how much space on A5 is sometimes quite an unusual thing to understand. But it's the kind of standard problems that you have when collaborating with anyone. And it's really just sort of breaking down those barriers right at the beginning that you're both out for the same thing and kind of letting go of the fact that, you know, your part is more important than the other part, or, you know, someone saying, can you change this because they don't like it, or, you know, hopefully if you're working with decent partners, it's all for the greater cause of some client who probably doesn't really care about these tiny little details that you're changing about. So it's just kind of breaking down those barriers of understanding that it's cooperation, but that's kind of the same of working with, you know, illustrators or filmmakers or anything, you know, and design these days seems to be much more collaborative right from the very, very beginning, I think, because the tools are easier.
Is there anything, are there any resources or books or websites? Is there anything that you feel copywriters, you know, we could be reading or looking at that would give us a basic grounding? I mean, I'm still learning things about design now. It's like, you know, we did the copy chat on this and someone came out and said, oh yeah, the thing that, you know, that I always work with designers on is how to make a headline balance. You know, and it's like, I've been doing this for virtually all of this century. And no one has ever said the word balance to me before in a design context. And I just kind of went, oh, that's a thing. Oh yeah, that makes sense. But I hadn't...
There are a couple of things that always come up. So for example, hyphenation across columnized text is something that copywriters often tell me they don't want, and don't want split words and they want justified text. But there's a great book by, I think it's Joseph Müller-Brockmann, called Designing by the Grid. There's basically two books that shaped my whole sort of typographic history, that and The Elements of Typographic Style by Robert Brinkhurst. And they basically set down the rules for how to lay out type. And that's got things like, you know, the optimal line length for reading and the optimal spacing between lines. And it also covers things like columnization of text should when should you hyphenate, when should you have ragged ends and all that sort of stuff. And sometimes you're making those decisions with magazine formats for the legibility of it, but you know, you try and not get too geeky about it. It kind of falls under the same sort of guise as, you know, Photoshop won't let you do that, to say, well, actually the optimal line length for a title is, you know, half the number of characters of the alphabet in uppercase or whatever the rules are, sort of thing. Because that sounds a bit like, you know, throwing rules around. But definitely those are really great to understand. Those books are really great to understand, like the typesetting decisions. And they apply to the modern web world as well. I'll be honest with you, the hardest part of our job is content. I've been very nice about sort of copy and copywriters, and copywriters tend to make it easy. But without a doubt, the hardest part of everything that we do is that content process, is gathering content, is getting it from clients, is getting it through copywriters, is understanding when it's best to come in, you know, in a completed form. And there are loads of tools out there to make that easier. So there's things like Gather Content for putting together websites, which sort of give a kind of workflow to getting content through. But I don't have the answers for how to make you better copywriters in terms of supplying copy for us. And if I did, I think I would have a lot less sleepless, stressful nights. Honestly, 90% of our stress comes from content and copy. And yeah.
Is there anything, you know, obviously not to fix anything, but is there anything that, you know, we have an audience, I mean, marketers as well, but an audience of copywriters, you know, is there anything that you're kind of, copywriters, stop doing this, please. This,
yeah, well, I do
what
find,
one thing makes you go, I can't believe they did that.
I think as a kind of species, you guys tend to be a little bit more organized than us as designers. Maybe that's the kind of designer that I am, but I definitely find that you're really keen to start writing final copy, perhaps because it takes longer or you want to get straight into it. So whereas we need to work in sort of very sort of blurry, sketchy ideas to start with. And there's definitely, you know, it's difficult for the client because what you do takes a certain amount of time. But being able to really sort of summarize the what you're going to be writing without necessarily writing it very, very quickly is something that's incredibly useful. So being able to say, okay, we're going to have 20 words on this, 100 words on that, you know, almost being able to reel that off without it being a big piece of work.
So almost providing the outlines, but with sort of word counts kind of included, yeah, for what's going to go in those sections.
That skeleton that I was talking about earlier, that kind of 20 words for title here, that point in the design process is when the most amount of change is happening for us. And our design process is always about reducing the amount of change the further you get into detail. So you're working sort of very broad, sketchy things. And the issue is that if you start designing without having an idea of what you're designing around right at the very beginning, then as you get in towards that detail, you don't want to be making so many changes then. But if the detail comes into focus and changes are required, then it becomes really hard. So if everyone can be working in this kind of really hazy kind of skeletal way at the beginning, I get mocked by the way I say skeletal, but this really kind of skeletal way at the beginning and then sort of focusing in on detail, then that is really helpful. That's a very useful thing for us.
That's an interesting one. Because I mean, we tend to do, the closest I think we get to that is that, you know, for longer pieces of content, you know, we'd write that kind of outline. Here we're covering this, we'll spend this many words talking about that. But that's mostly, from our point of view, you know, for long pieces like ebooks, white papers. So that, you know, because if we've got something wrong in the brief on a piece that long, it's an awful long way to row back.
Exactly.
If you've already gone to first draft, right? Mm. But if that's the sort of thing that's useful for designers more collaboratively early on, I think that's good. I mean, you know, if any of our clients listening might want to check with their designers if they'd like us to start doing that, because that might be interesting to know.
Okay.
Just going to say, from our perspective, just one thing really quickly, the difference between a rough draft and a final draft means absolutely nothing. Like if you want to, you go through it and change, you know, 50 words every 200 words, that makes no difference to us whatsoever. It's just the general structure that's the most important thing to us.
Okay, and just, is there anything, David, you think you would like designers to know about the copywriting process?
Yeah, I mean, I don't actually get to talk to many designers in the wild. So it's lovely, because the thing is, obviously, you know, if we deal with agencies, you know, a lot of the time we're dealing with marketers, we're dealing with account managers, and the designers are off in a room somewhere. And so, you know, what I do if I'm writing a piece, I might put in a little suggestion like box out here, you know, flash here, you know, let's have a pull quote here kind of thing. I have no idea if designers find that, oh, look, he's given me toys to play with, or, oh my God, look at all these things I have to do. I've no idea if that's useful, if that's awful. But, you know, I'd like the designers of the world to know that's meant in love, and you can ignore those things if you want. I'm not telling anyone how to do their job. I'm just trying to give, you know, goodies to play with, really. Yes, what are the main thing I want designers to know? I hate PDFs. I think, and all of us in the office as writers hate PDFs. PDFs are awful. Working with, it feels so good to say it at last. Putting amends in the form of particularly if it's longish copy, putting amends in the form of putting sticky note comments on a PDF file are painful, and things get missed, and it's difficult. I think my colleagues really just want to work in Word. You know, I'm happy working in a number of different tools, but doing rounds of feedback and editing copy through the medium of PDF particularly if they're big amends and we're having to use converters and things, so to get an editable version of the content is an immensely painful
also process. It's been able to track those changes to show the client, who isn't necessarily obviously the designer, that we have gone and looked at this thing that has been mentioned.
And, you know, rather than here's the whole thing, these are the small bits that have been changed. It's painful. I feel cleansed for saying that.
Well, can I say track changes to me is complete gobbledygook. I've got absolutely no idea.
Okay. So what do you do? Do you just want to get the whole new document and just take out all the copy and put in all the new copy?
It kind of varies depending on what kind of project you are. To be honest, stickies are pretty, I can see why they're a pain to work with, but stickies are quite a useful way of doing it. I just hate Word. We just hate Microsoft and PowerPoint. Oh. I don't want to speak to all of them. But I think the association with PowerPoint has just tainted all of the rest of their products for us, basically. So if it's like real long form and there's a lot of changes, then the whole thing is just fine and we'll just reflow the whole thing. With web copy and things like that, where you've got lots of links and you don't want to have to redo all those links, then, yeah, I guess track changes is the way to do it. But it can be quite hard to pass when there's a lot of changes and you're all having conversations with each other in track changes about, you know, tenses and things like that that we don't want to know about, and we just want to know what the final decision is.
That sounds very familiar.
Actually, just to make a point, an observation of track changes for web copy, track changes can hide when hyperlinks have been inserted into copy if the track change is there,
right?
Which is a pain in the ass as well. Because this is a thing I have to deal with when I'm loading people's blog posts into WordPress.
Yes, it just disappears. Oh, nightmare. So. Other things, briefly, not for you specifically, just for designers. The formatting in the stuff that I do. You know, if I've put a word in italics, it's meant to be in italics. You know, a lot of people, you know, they cut and paste it in and then the formatting gets lost. You know, and I've no idea if there's a way to make that easier to spot so that doesn't get missed. But equally, things like, you know, where you were saying, you know, 50 words here, 40 characters there about this, about that. I don't know if other writers find it difficult, but I enjoy that. For me, that's a game.
Right.
And that gives me boundaries to be creative within.
Okay.
And that kind of a tight brief like that, down to you have this many words to say that thing. Sometimes, you know, then a client will go, yes, and it has to say this and this and this and this and this in those 7 words. And you can kind of go, oh. But apart from that, that's a good game. And I find those guides, you know, we need this many words here. I find that really, really helpful. That's not a thing that as a writer I mind at all, really.
Do you ever change it straight into InDesign documents, or do you do any of that?
No, I've
the office does only a couple of us. Well, me and Katie have got access to Creative Cloud.
Right.
So
as writers, you know, I think that's.
That
gives me the fear.
To be fair,
I'm going to break everything
I don't think our hardware could handle everyone having Creative Cloud.
No, but that's...
It's like the inverse. We've got one copy of Word for the changes that come in from the copywriters, and you've got one copy of InDesign for that time when you need to make changes straight into the document.
Yeah, I think it's the thing. I mean, it's very interesting because our team are very wedded to Word as a way of working.
I hate Word though because it's really impractical for digital content because of the fact that it doesn't recognise the character limitations that you might have for bits of website or social media.
Yeah, I mean a lot of writers, you know, if you ask them to make amends live in a WordPress draft, you know, they'll get the fear about that. Oh, no, this is tech, this is development and design, and this is not what I do. I just want my words in.
Well, I think going back to your question before, you know, having some knowledge of WordPress and InDesign is really useful, you know, if it is something that you can do. You get more control at the end of the day as well. So you lose to a certain extent that here's all these changes to make, and then you send them to the designer and they've missed one. Do you know what I mean? Which I'm sure has happened to you once or twice in the past. We don't do that, obviously. That never happens with us. But yeah, you get more control if you can do your changes. And obviously, there's the thing that copying and pasting straight from Word into WordPress can quite often break a WordPress site as well, which is another painful aspect of Word. But, you know.
That's okay. I think, unfortunately, that we have actually run out of time, but I feel like we've covered what I wanted to put in for ask about for the final question, which is what can copywriters do to make designers' jobs easier? Is there maybe what's the main thing? Or what if you had one thing that you wanted copywriters to do to make your job easier, what would that one thing be?
Oh my God.
No pressure.
Yeah. I think it's the same thing for any collaborator, which is just listen and be ready to make changes.
So that is all we've got time for in this episode of Good Copy, Bad Copy. In the next episode, we'll be looking at copy style guides for B2B brands. Thank you, Xander, for coming on to this episode.
Thanks for coming in.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
If you have any questions or comments about this episode, feel free to email us via podcast@radix-communications.com. You can also tweet Radix on Twitter @radixcom. You'll find our website at radix-communications.com, where you can also sign up for our monthly email for the latest copywriting tips and insights.